Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. My name is Warren.
I'm Steven.
I'm Dave.
Jason from Big Ridge Brewing.
And I'm Mike. All right, well, I'm going to pass this off to Jason because this episode's going to actually be a bunch of beers that Jason brought from Big Ridge. So
not only did he bring them, but he made them.
He made them, yes. So why don't you just give a little shout out to where the brewery is, a little bit about the brewery, the history, and then we'll get into the beer.
Sure. So first of all, thanks for having me on, guys.
Oh, our pleasure.
It's
our
top shelf. Right. I'm really appreciating it. So where we are located is in Surrey, 152nd and number 10. We're a little bit west of Cloverdale. Every time I mention that, people will go, hey, didn't you across the way?
It used to be Kitty Corner.
Yes.
That was back so much day. Better. Yeah.
Okay. No, actually, that's only because Tony was working there.
So anyway, I had nothing to do with that. but we just celebrated our 20th anniversary this year. Nice. So there's not too many breweries.
Yeah, 20 years.
20 years.
All right, Big Ridge.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Actually, let me cut in. I have a little bit of a connection to the new location, too, because the company I work for designed the structure for the current location of Big Ridge Brewing. So
cool.
I was there before you were.
I'm pretty sure you were. Mind you, your lovely wife said earlier, it's like, I think we met there or had a date. She had a very fond memory about you and her at that location.
Well, we've gone there, yeah, because when I first was going out with her, she moved out to Surrey with me when I still lived out there. So we had gone there a couple times, yeah.
Yay, I love hearing stories like that. That just makes me happy. So, yeah, 20th anniversary. There's been a multitude of BC brewers that have gone through
a lot of really good
that
brewers.
Location. And it has a lot of legacy.
Yeah,
that's all I have to say. And we are a fully fledged kind of a OG brew pub.
Not just that, but you've had some excellent chefs coming through there as well.
That's the other thing I'm hearing is well. So I connect with our chef on a regular basis. Him and I are thick as thieves.
Yeah.
So, and it adds an incredible dimension.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't see too many of that classic brew pub anymore. You kind of see more breweries with a tasting room, and then they have food, and it's kind of an interesting dichotomy. So I feel like a little bit like a dinosaur in some way with the Tyrannosaurus Rex on. But on the other hand, just being able to look back through, I'm just finished brewing today, brew number 1,161.
Wow.
Very good.
So, that's some history, yeah.
Yeah, to be able to look through all the talent that have gone through before me is just fantastic.
Yeah.
Be able to kind of learn.
Could you kind of name off, do you remember some of the head brewers that have been there before?
Absolutely.
You?
Before me was Chad Warford. He cut his teeth at 33 Acres.
Yeah.
And another person before that, Ashley Brooks, KPU alumni.
Ashley, yeah.
She's like
Four
a celeb.
Wins?
Yeah,
yeah,
she's now in Four Winds, just killing it there. I'd probably talk to her about once a month. She's super talented. Before that, Nick Bolton. I bumped into him a couple times. Super great guy. Tariq Khan.
Yeah, so Tariq's amazing.
He's a legend. So
now a distiller mostly.
Yeah, absolutely. He's actually my production manager, so I report to him on anything brewing related and production related. So he's such a great mentor.
Now he mostly distills at Yaletown Distillery, right?
That's correct. Yeah. Absolutely.
Which is part of the same group, the Mark James group.
You nailed it. Yeah. Before that, Tony DeWald, 30-year brewmaster, currently at Trading Post Brewing. I was actually his assistant before I took on this gig as a head brewer, and I wouldn't have been able to do this without him. So huge shout-out to Trading Post and their team. Just being able to look through his recipes and seeing the writing and going, oh, I know that.
Yeah.
So, other ones in no particular order, Dave Varga.
Yeah.
I heard brewed there, you know, Derek Franchout up in High Mountain Whistler Brew House. There's been a multitude of other people that have gone through there that have gone on and created, I think, a great culture in the BC craft brewing scene.
I guess we should touch on you, too, because you've had quite the experience at a bunch of breweries.
Oh, yeah.
We've joked a couple times that every time I see you, you're at a different brewery. It's a joke, but...
Yeah, it's funny you should say that. So I've been a brewer for about only 4 years. I graduated from Olds College from their brewery program. And the question I usually get is, why didn't you graduate from KPU? And at the time, KPU wasn't even open yet.
Yeah, no.
So I remember talking with Warren, and I jumped in on going out to Alberta. Just because, not only because the program wasn't open, and I really wanted to get ahead of the game.
Yeah, for sure.
And I remember Warren giving me some good solid counsel of like, yeah, go do it, man, give her. And I figure I'm going into the land of malt.
Yeah.
You know, I'm moving from the land of hops in British Columbia and going into the land of malt.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah. It is kind of backwards. And I have a good support network. I have good friends out in Alberta. So I thought it was a right move and a great little adventure. And I also like being at the ground roots of something. I was part of the very first program that ever came out of Olds.
Yeah.
So no one can take that away from me.
Which was the first program in Western Canada, I guess.
Pretty much. I think Niagara, yeah, in Western Canada. Really blazed the trail and gave lots of great advice. And I met such amazing people. We were a true coast-to-coast class, pretty much. We had guys one guy used to live in Newfoundland.
Really?
So, wow. Oh, yeah. So to have that, and I still touch base with them at least many of these people once a month. So rolling back to, I graduated from that program with honors, and I cut my teeth at Tree Brewing in Kelowna at the production facility. And Dave Gokert, the brewmaster, took me on, and I was a shift brewer working graveyards and having a rough go at things. But I knew going to one of the predecessors of BC Craft Brewing was the way to go.
Yeah, for sure.
I knew going and brewing at a big system and then being able to kind of say dial back was smart. So, and I met some amazing guys. The team there is phenomenal. Really gained a lot of knowledge. And then from there, I kind of branched out and I went over to Farmer's Folly.
Yeah.
And I worked with Warren and I worked with some other talented individuals.
Oh, Pitt Meadows.
You nailed it, yeah. And
we talked him into it. We're like, come on, you got to come back to the Lower Mainland.
Yeah.
And I had known Warren for Fraser Valley Homebrew Club.
The Fermentalists.
Thank you, the Fraser Valley Fermentalists. And him and Matt Barber. And
so we met you before you went to Olds.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it was just a right fit. You know, I'd known them for years, and they gave me a lot of good advice, drank a lot of beers together.
Never.
And it just, I always wanted the opportunity to really kind of pick their brain, but they also needed someone with some kind of commercial aspect to be able to handle that. They were going, you know what, we just want to be creative, and can you handle just doing all the regular beers? I'm like, I can rinse repeat, no problem. Yeah. I can do that. So I felt like that guy from Galaxy Quest. I'm just happy to be a part of the show. So I was super tickled, and I thought it was great. And then basically I just had a better opportunity that popped up through Training Post.
Yeah.
Tony DeWald was the brewer there, and he just kind of...
Working with Tony for a year, he's going to teach you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're gonna leave a better brewer.
He's definitely one of the most experienced brewers locally.
Yes,
must be good to be able to go to brewing school and get paid for it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
basically, because your second brewing school was paid with Tony.
Totally. It was more like brewing boot camp. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, Tony's
so military.
Tony's tough. Tony's tough. I've brewed with him before, and he assumes that you have the knowledge, and he'll point at a fermenter and say, go clean and sanitize that fermenter.
Yeah.
And that's the instruction you get. He doesn't, unless you ask and say, listen, I'm going to need a little more instruction than that, he might show you, how to hook up the hoses and the pump and everything in his way of doing things.
Maybe that's just with Warren. He was great with me, I'm not going to lie. But
maybe he expected more out of me.
Perhaps.
Again, you're getting paid.
Maybe I needed more baby steps.
I was free labor.
Yeah.
he was, they say when the student is ready, the master will arrive. And I was ready to be the student again.
That was good timing because he just lost his other assistant who went to go be a lawyer and whatnot.
Wow, yeah.
That's a change.
And basically, and I had met him before I went to brew school. He was the only one that, when I was telling everybody I was going to Olds, he was the only one that said, you're not going down to, you're not going to Harriet Watt. You're not going to UC Davis. And I was a little burned.
Sable.
So I talked to him about a year later. It took me that much courage.
Yeah.
And say to him, what's up, man? Why would you say that? Like, everybody else has been supportive. He goes, well, you're smart enough. And then walks away. I'm like, tear in my eye. I'm like, are you, man? So, yeah, working with Tony, just learned so much and really.
He's got a real way of doing things.
And he also has an eidetic memory. So that means it's borderline photographic and he doesn't forget anything. And so that's also really hard. Yeah. So, but also, a little kind of fun fact is I did air cadets for 5 years.
Okay.
So I'm used to the kind of the drill sergeant methodology. So I kind of dig it. So when he got all drill sergeant-y, I kind of went, I'm down with it, man. It's like, oh, it's all good. So, yeah, I worked a year and a half there and just, again, not only learned so much, but helped be part of the team that drive their success. And I still go there and have their beers and talk with the ownership and Tony.
Yeah.
They're always happy to see me, and I just heart them. I would not be where I am today without them.
Oh, definitely. Yeah,
Lance
is
good people. Tony's so easy to get along with, and he's always willing to share information. So even as a brewer in your position now at Ridge, if you have questions and concerns, Tony's more than happy to talk to you about it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you know him, don't go there if you don't have half an hour, because you're going to talk.
I think if Tony forgot anything, it would still be more than I could ever learn.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I usually run it. And I find myself on occasion being in the brewery going, what would Tony DeWall do? Right?
WWTD.
Yeah. So after that, Tony was really kicking my pants to take on this gig. And I was really trepidatious, actually. I didn't think I had the chops to do it. And it took Chad, the prior brewer, coming in. And I remember asking him, hey, man, how's it going trying to find a replacement? And he goes, having a hard time. Either I'm finding someone that's overqualified or not qualified enough for kind of that job role. And I remember drinking there 8 years ago.
Yeah.
I would go there for cask night. I remember them having cask offs with, Mission Springs. I have a lot of good positive feels about that place.
Yeah.
And I go, I would hate to see someone get put in that position and that's not the right fit. And I go, you know what? Some people might say throw yourself on that grenade, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to have a reevaluation. What if I threw my name in the ring? And Tariq, Chad was saying Tariq would be over the moon.
Yeah.
What's funny? In the background, Tariq's messaging me saying, hey, do you know anybody interested? What do you think of Jason?
Yeah. So everything kind of just fell together. Ended up having like a Skype interview with Tariq. And I remember telling Tony, it's like, hey, I threw my name in the ring. He goes, oh, let me call Tariq. No, you need to understand. I already talked to him. And Tony's look on his face is like, I stole his thunder. And then about 3 hours later, after I did the interview, they called me up. Tariq called me up and offered me the job. And I never watched Tony run up the stairs fast enough to go and announce to the ownership and Lance, going, "Hey, I want to announce to you guys, hey, the new head brewer brewmaster of Big Ridge." And I kind of peeked my head around the corner. They're just floored, and they're like, what, this is a great opportunity.
The flip side of that was I got a message from Tony, you know anybody who wants to be my assistant?
So that's it. I'll segue on that a little bit. I actually submitted two names to him to be the assistant, and I left him with a tough choice, apparently, because I chose two people that I knew and respected and admired, both KPU graduates.
Yep.
So that just states how they're doing so awesome with their program. And Sean Kilby is the assistant now, and he's a great guy. We get along so well. We do cast together. We talk about cast program stuff.
That's awesome.
So then when I moved on to Big Ridge as of April 30th in 2018. And I've been hitting the ground running, and
since April?
Yeah, man.
Everybody, seems longer.
A lot of people have said that, and I appreciate
that. That's so weird.
Yeah.
Because you've already had a couple of dinners and everything too, right?
Yeah. They were doing a lot of stuff. I kind of look at it as, I remember the glory days of when, like, Tariq and Tony and even Ashley and all these people that were there kind of really bringing the notoriety to Big Ridge. And I go, I want to be able to measure up and do things and conduct events and really bring that good
make
word fame. Well, bring Big Ridge back to the game.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And a lot of people like yourselves are going, oh, I remember going to Big Ridge. And kind of bring that back and going, hey, we're doing some stuff.
Yeah.
So you should come check us out.
You guys do great dinners.
Thank you.
Every pairing dinner I've been to there has been excellent, and a very good value.
Thank you very much. So what Warren's explaining, we do a brewmaster dinner around every 2-3 months. Chef Kevin and I are very strategic in how we conduct our pairings, between the menu edits. He comes into the brewery, samples the beer. We talk about beers we're going to go with. We'll do a meeting, a preliminary tasting meeting with the management and the social media people. We'll bring our two beers to the table. We'll see, okay, well, if this pairing is going to work, we'll talk about plating, how that's going to be appearance-wise, how it's going to be component-wise. So every single brewmaster dinner we do, it gets better every time.
Oh, yeah.
When I first got hired, he approached me, Chef Kevin approached me and says, well, how do you feel about brewmaster dinners? Because I thought I was going to leave that when I left Trading Post. I was hosting a lot of brewmaster dinners there, and I loved it. I figure I'm going to a full-fledged restaurant. I'm not going to be able to do that again. And he was like, yeah, I'd like to do them. I'm in.
Yeah.
But there's a certain way I want to do them. And if we have to make it strategic. If we don't do it right, it's just going to be terrible.
Yeah. So it's been done right.
Thank you. We put a lot of effort. It's about a six-week turnaround between my schedule and his schedule.
You can tell that there's work put into it.
Yeah. So I always make a beer specifically for the brewmaster dinner. Also, shout out to Trish, kind of our assistant manager. She was saying, why don't you do all seasonals? So we're doing everything we can to not pair our core beers with our brewmaster dinner. And lastly, I always will make a cask specifically just for the brewmaster dinner.
That's awesome.
The dinner, because I talked to Warren about this months ago about, is anybody doing this? And you mentioned something about the whip did something years
back
and years
in the day,
ago.
The Feast of Five Firkins.
Yeah.
Holy Firk.
Yes. Oh,
remember that?
You pronounced that correct.
Say that five times fast.
Oh, he has.
So I wanted to do, I'm that type of guy, I look what everybody else is doing and do not that.
Let's do it better.
That's why I have long hair. That's why I look like Robert Plant's love child.
Well, you have long hair,
as you can clearly see in the podcast, folks.
Hey, I have a face made for radio. We all know that. So I always want to do something a little bit different that makes us stand out. And what better way to try and bring Big Ridge back to the table or back to the map and get people's attention about it in a positive manner than do it brick by brick, piece by piece, and doing little things like that.
Ridge by ridge.
Yeah, you know. Sure.
Yeah, it's very military.
So with the brewmaster dinner, like I said, we do them every couple months. The next one we're going to do is the Oktoberfest Inspired.
Nice.
And, oh, yeah. So we're encouraging dirndls and lederhosen. I'm probably going to wear some lederhosen. You're welcome.
I always encourage those.
So. Yeah. So it's really fun for us because I get to connect with the customers. I get to connect with our clientele and really kind of – and Chef gets to be creative. So it's super fun for us. The servers are supremely amazing in their execution during the serving process, the cask, everything. We're always trying to do something different with it. So the fact that I know Dave comes out on a regular basis, Warren, you come out when you can.
When I can, yeah.
Yeah, I invite everybody to come out. Now, we've changed our brewmaster dinner schema. We used to do 24 seats. We're pushing 40 seats now.
Nice. That's awesome.
The last one I was at, I was quite surprised with how many people were there.
Yeah.
It's got a popular following.
Yeah. So, and also, you're saying good value.
Very good.
Yeah. So,
are you kidding me? I was eating soft-shelled crab and all this stuff. I don't know what it was. I think it was $40 or $45 bucks or something crazy. It was delicious.
Yeah, so we're going to be keeping around that $40 to $50 kind of price point.
That's amazing. Yeah. Comparable dinner downtown is going to be $60 to $80, right? So you can't go wrong.
Let me weigh in on that, because if we're going to, you know, that point obviously has to have a little bit of its due during this episode. And it has been a long time since many of us remember the time when brewmaster's dinners were a novelty.
Yes.
Again,
folks. Few and far between.
When you get podcasts with people of certain age, you're going to hear this stuff about...
Back in the old days when there was three craft breweries.
The word
in
back will precede many sentences.
We had R&B, Storm, and Dix. There's still lots of Dix.
And that's
D-I-X.
And that's when... Yeah, that Mark James hadn't bought that place yet. Anyway, so... So what I'm getting at is that there was a time in Big Ridge's history when I remember going to a brewmaster's dinner. Tariq was hosting it when it was at the old place.
Yeah.
And camera members came out on a bus.
Right.
And, of course, I lived in Surrey, so I didn't need to worry about the bus. But, yeah, I met up with a lot of people like yourself, and Tariq hosted that. It was... we're talking, you know, quite a while back, and there's been a number of, not just brew pubs, but let's say brew houses, tap houses, that have tried to leverage the whole Brewmaster's Dinner thing mm-hmm. over the years. I run an events calendar in What's Brewing called the What's Brewing Events Calendar, somewhat oddly. and there's constantly Brewmaster's Dinners in there. But you won't find that you'll get the same kind of impression at most of these dinners that you walk away with when you walk away from what's happening at Big Ridge today, because you really feel like you underpaid.
Yes.
And
definitely
that you were, and I say this about the food, that you were overserved.
Mm-hmm. Chef like
I carefully say that about the food. But even in that famous first episode last summer when we were on the patio, Jason, the amount even of beer, and I'm saying this safely within guidelines, folks, you often go to these things and you feel like, I paid all this money and they hardly gave me any beer. They gave you a substantial amount because Big Ridge is giving you like Surrey-sized portions. Okay. and hey.
The Surrey serving.
There you go. And then you have the fact that they had just an enormous meal with a pretzel that'll never happen again because it was so big, nobody could eat after they had this thing.
So in Dave's defense, and Dave's a vegetarian, we do a vegetarian option. And Chef encourages a vegetarian option. So if you want to come out and you are a vegetarian.
And they try to be just as creative with the vegetarian options.
They are. I remember the one, I think it was the second dinner, we did the spring one, and it was quinoa stuffed roasted peppers. And everybody was looking at that. Why can't I have that? And Dave got out. He's like, this is mine and not yours. So
I have a sharp fork.
So just seeing that, that's really great. And allows a really great opportunity of creativity for our back of house kitchen team. So
sure.
Yeah.
Let's jump into your first beer before we keep going here.
Yeah, let's drink some damn beer.
Let's get into the beer that's the hardest to make.
We're all about talking.
Yeah, funny how you say it. So this is the Penalty Stroke Pilsner. It actually, Mike, you nailed it. It is one of the most challenging that I've ever made. So the little story behind this is Northview Golf and Country Club. Any golfers
not
here?
Not too far from Big Ridge.
Once a year.
About 10 to 15 minutes away. They're really great neighbors of ours. They take our IPA in cans and they'll serve it in the carts and stuff. So they're a good client. And the food and beverage manager and the general manager came out and they approached us and they go, we would love for you to make a beer for us for our 25th anniversary. We love you guys. Are you interested?
Cool.
So yeah, it was great. So I sat down with our general manager, Rob, and met with them and they were very specific. They were talking about, well, we want Hallertau hops, and want it to be not like Stella, but similar to Heineken, but not skunky, and all these. I'm like, wow, that very strategic. And I'm like, okay. So I already had some ideas to the table, and I brought some ideas, and I was going to wait for them to say, what do you guys want to do? So went through it, had the big talk, and I go, okay, I can do all that, but the idea I have is this. I want to do a hybrid style. So 50% Czech Pils. So Czech Pils is going to have that kind of grassy, kind of little bit of grassy, you know, like Pilsner or Kell, kind of classic style.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to do a pre-Prohibition Pilsner because I was inspired by you, Warren, and Matt Barber making that
pre-pro
back at Fulmer's Folly. And I go, I would always want to brew something like that. So I remember asking Matt, hey, what are your counsel? What's your insight? I'm kind of going in. So I wanted to fuse the two together and still do the same hop profile that the client wanted and cut the IBU in half because normally they're around 30 IBU. So it's a little kind of more of that bitter kind of very dry note. And I wanted raw drinkability. So I figured if I cut it in half, it's certainly not going to fit in any style guidelines. at all.
Well, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
As long as it's good.
So, I use flake corn. To kind of give it that pre-pro note, but I also using all that kind of Czech hop and that classic kind of, and I use a German yeast with it. So it's really, and I use a lot of German malt. So it's a lot more German influence than say Czech, which I thought, which when I researched pre-prohibition Pilsner, when the Germans were coming over, there wasn't a lot of barley and the like.
Right.
So they used a lot of corn. So I kind of did that homage to history. And at the end of the meeting, they're going, good, we're looking forward to the test batch. And Rob and I looked, test batch? what's that?
Yeah, not this time.
We're 1-1, right? Yeah. Like, we just go all in. And really? You don't have some small system? I'm like, no. Well, how do we know? And I go, stand on me. I got trained by Tony DeWald, right? Yeah. And they're like, Tony who? And I'm like, oh, okay, dude, okay. Hold on. Let's just get this straight. And I go, look, I understudied under 30-year brewmasters. So stand on me. Allow me the opportunity. So I brewed the first batch. They came in, tasted it. And they actually were kind of taking a round out of me. And I had no idea. I was so nervous. They came in and they're tasting it. And they go, well, what do you format this in? Well, we do 50-liter kegs. We can do some 30s, too, because we got some odd segments that we package in. Well, how big is that 30 you're talking about? Well, about this size. I'm kind of moving my hands, making dimension kind of motions. Well, how would that fit in my car? I go, I don't know. Like, I'll deliver it. It's not a big deal. And they, well, because I want to take it home. Oh, so they really liked it, but they just, and they must have talked about this with Rob beforehand, because I was sweating, right? And then afterwards, I'm like, you like me, you really like me. So anyway, we went back and forth for names. I'm just to start pouring beers.
Do it.
So we came up with a bunch of, one of the names was On Par, which I don't like that.
It's
because,
a golf reference, though.
Well, it's a golf reference, but On Par just means kind of regular and ordinary.
Pass the bottle.
So here you go. You guys can pour your own. enough of that nonsense. So this one is a pride and joy. So they contract us to make this beer from March to October.
Oh, nice. That's
and they awesome. Take 1 to 4 kegs a week.
Beautiful.
And they had this beer on, serving it for their 25th anniversary, where they had the band 5440 play.
Really?
It was super awesome. They invited us out. And a lot of people were drinking. You know, to see a beer that I made in a golf course, I'm just tickled. And this turned out kind of pretty much exactly how I wanted.
It smells really nice.
Cheers, thanks, guys.
With that intro, there must be toasting.
Thank you very much.
It smells really nice, Jason.
Thank you.
That smells like
it's got that classic kind of Pilsner aroma, but you get that sweetness from the corn in there as well.
It's grassy, it's fruity, it's kind of corny.
I wanted, and the clarity too, because people on the golf course, you're drinking with your
eyes. Have you filtered this?
I don't filter.
Just finings.
So I just use fining agents.
It's super clear.
Yeah.
Really crystal clear.
So one thing I've done is for you brewers out there, I do a mash out, and that helps with my lautering, and that helps really drop, remove some of those proteins. And that's been really, really helping. Yeah.
This is delicious.
Thank you.
It's not just delicious, but also the palate. You know, this actually, okay, folks, this is where I get to jump
in
like
I
did last time.
It's slightly on the hoppier side, which I like.
It's a little bit,
I was in the Czech Republic last year. No.
What part of Germany is that? No.
Yeah. Let's not get it.
Wow.
Don't.
Our Germans even not like that.
Because it's a blend of German and Czech
style. Believe me, it's not the Germans that would be pissed off at that joke. But absolutely, it's almost impossible on a small scale to make that type of beer. It wasn't designed really in some ways. The classic Czech Pilsners are not like, we make little batches.
Right.
They're like we talked about the tanker truck earlier in another podcast. That's like a minimum delivery. You don't get them in kegs.
Yeah.
So this actually is doing really well.
It's a great, both Rob and I, the GM, were really concerned as soon as we put on a Pilsner, because we have a house lager, we're worried about sales dropping in the house lager.
Yeah.
We had none of that impact.
Really?
None of it. Interesting. So that was really uplifting for us. We move a fair amount of Pilsner in-house. We only serve it in two places. So that's at Big Ridge and at Northview Golf and Country Club. And the servers there, I've kind of like ghosted and gone in there and like not told them I'm the brewer. And they're phenomenal about presenting the beer. Very good. They have their own special card on their menu saying, hey, we know we're serving a local beer.
Yeah.
They made it for us. I'm like, beautiful. I love you guys. They're and the food there is delicious too. Yeah. If you go golfing there and you just want to stop in for a bite, that's it. Right when again, service is really good.
Or if you don't want to golf, you just want to stop in for a bite, because
that's fine. I mean, you got to give diversity,
this is
right?
Super crushable.
Right? It is.
Oh, it's got a bit more flavor than you would expect from this style.
Well, what you want is some bite.
right?
It's super crisp.
You need to have some bite.
It's
otherwise,
got that bite.
It's a little nip is what I call it. Yeah. It's got a nip of that hop, because imagine this double the kind of the bitterness component, and it would be, you couldn't crush this.
It'd be too
so
much.
I don't golf, but a lot of my relatives back east in Ontario, they golf like maniacs. So I'm looking at what would I want to brew for them so they're stopped drinking the macro. And this is kind of one of the motivations about why I wanted to make this beer. It's like if any golfer that wanted to go out there and have some raw crushability, this is it.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I'm thinking your salt additions are contributing to how great it is.
Thank you. You know me well enough. I love water chemistry. I'm a water chemistry nerd. I love getting right.
Once
down
you understand
that.
It,
so that's
it's
behind
important stuff.
What I'm getting on the palate, like I want to go back to. It's not just flavor.
But it's
to
also
me,
the mouthfeel.
It's a palate experience. And mouthfeel is part of palate, but we're talking now, like when you mentioned salt, all of a sudden that's explaining something for me.
Mm-hmm.
Water chemistry, of course, because we don't actually live and work in, you know, like Pilsen and Budweis.
Yeah. Our water here is a blank canvas.
Yeah.
So this that's making a lot of sense that you're working hard on your liquor. And so basically this, I think, is for me, you were talking about crushable.
God damn.
Pilsner, because of the bite, isn't normally like really actually just like crushable beer in North America. It is over there.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that I think I actually would want more than one of. And that's
the whole point.
That's not normal.
This is one of the best examples of this type of style that I've had in a while.
Thank you, man.
This
Appreciate
is really good.
Yeah. It is. I love the texture of it. It's
This
is going to sound really weird because I don't have quite the right word, but it's almost glassy. Like, it's not smooth, but it almost skates.
Yeah, actually. On
Thank
the
you.
Tongue. Again, it's all palate.
Yeah.
I just got exactly what you said.
It's grainy, it's corny, it's citrusy, it's
so
light little bit of bitterness in there.
But you know what? It's sophisticated.
Yeah.
I mean, what Steve just said, the way that it actually acts on your palate is not just like, hey, malt liquor can be corny. But this is, and it's not just the Pilsner talking, Jason. I mean, honestly, I didn't expect this, and I don't know why. But this is exceeding expectations.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
I don't like Pilsners, and this is not a terrible beer.
I'm with you.
It's got enough flavor for a craft fan.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Right.
But you could still feed it to your buddy who likes.
It's not in your wheelhouse. We didn't get into craft to drink Pilsner. We already had.
Although
Pilsner.
Oddly enough, the last year or two, that's exactly where I've been going.
It's interesting. I've talked about the brewers, and you might have seen the chart where they start at the, you know, lagers and pilsners. They do the multi browns, and they go to IPAs, and then they move to probably stouts,
barley wines,
and then all of a sudden barley wines, and it's Russian imperial stouts, and then it's sours, and then all of a sudden back to lagers, pilsners. So there's that.
Yeah.
It's like what was it that Elton John's on the circle of life?
Yeah.
You know,
it's
going around.
It's not the circle of life; it's the circle of liver.
So you're giving your liver a break, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I know talking with Warren is that you brewers brew from the heart. So it was really, I wouldn't say it was easy, but once I kind of brewed this beer and looked at the motivation behind it, like they came to us and I did my research about Northview with Honor Palmer and all the history they have. I'm like, okay, I better make sure that I do this textbook. So I asked a lot of people, got a lot of information and yeah, the rest is liquid to lips there, peeps.
So when they're finished their sort of 25th anniversary promotion or whatever, does that mean that this beer will be gone?
It will, but you know, the funny thing is they've already made hints of like, are we going
to
do this again?
It's so good. It needs
to
be done again.
So I do want, they were like, do we do something different?
I think you should be making this on a regular basis for
them. Thank you.
Yeah.
Going forward, they should be serving this all the time.
Well, I do agree there. And, you know, it almost might make sense to get this also in cans for their cart. Because there's a lot of people golf that just crush this kind of beer.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I try to crush IPAs when I'm golfing once a year.
Is your handicap that bad? Or
it's trying to forget that I'm on a golf course.
I'm with him. But here's the thing. You got to be careful what you wish for, because reality is if you had a highly saleable Pilsner, that's going to sell a lot more. Like, the question is, could you actually serve enough of this beverage being successful enough?
They already have a house lager.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean,
can you,
I think the biggest problem with this beer is it's going to be tying the tanks up a bit longer.
That's what I'm asking.
So I we've already brewing this beer throughout this season was a great litmus test for us. It's the first time we've ever branched out into this direction. So Rob and I have already talked about that. It's like he's already said, "Can you handle it? Can you do it next year?" I'm like, yeah. You know what? Like, we could do it. If you want to do it exclusive for canning, that's another set of discussions that we want to put together. We're looking into potentially wanting to can our seasonals. That's a discussion we're putting in the works. We want to do that. Mm-hmm. They're really happy with a few of the seasonals I've done, so which I brought today.
Yeah.
So, again, good problem to have. It would be up to Northview, really.
Yeah.
Would I want to do a pale ale? Potentially, but honestly, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
There's nothing wrong with this beer.
I love brewing this beer. It's fun.
It's delicious.
It's a little more work, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like making quiche. It's a little more work, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
Right?
So, well, you know, there's always, you know, the...
Don't react. I'm just trolling.
A nice photo there.
Yeah, we're looking at a picture of Jason hugging a cask.
I mean,
I do that a lot.
Your parking lot already lost some spaces with the new building that went in. So
breaks my terrible. Heart. The parking there is killing me.
So maybe just take a couple more spots out and put some outside tanks. And,
oh, God.
And pull like Phillips or Mission Springs.
Yeah, just have some tanks outside and there's your lager tanks.
I would love to be quite honest. That would be great, but that's not up to me.
Yeah. I mean, really, you could lose two spots and have two big lager tanks outside.
The parking there is savage.
It's atrocious.
It's really rough.
It's gotten bad.
But it's still worth coming out to us.
Oh, hell yeah, it is. Yeah.
So
I mean, shit, there shouldn't be a lot of parking for a brewery anyways. You're going there to drink.
Well, transit isn't all that stellar.
Yeah, but still, you shouldn't be driving if you're drinking.
Correct.
So
absolutely.
You only need, you know, there's five seats in most cars. You only need one car for five people.
Yeah. So I'm glad you guys like it. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's good.
It's delicious.
So we should move to the next one. Or we got
which one do you want to bring out now?
Well, we should bring out the Citrus Wit.
Citrus Wit? All right. Well, I'll grab that. If you guys got some more questions, fire.
Citrus Wit. What makes it a citrus? Just the hop profile or
this
is there
one,
actual
this
citrus
one, in it? I did a beer called Beautiful Distractions, and this is what led into this one. So... First of all, just a little methodology about how I make beer is, I look at what everybody else is doing and do not that.
Right.
So I did a beer called Beautiful Distractions. It was a fruit hef. So it had blood orange as well as mango and peach.
Wow.
It was a hef. So I wanted to do a trifecta of fruits.
Yeah.
And it was inspired by three very talented, lovely lady friends of mine. They're awesome.
That I may have in a photo. That's
you may have in a photo.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that's not
photo.
This one.
That's not that,
that
photo.
That is definitely not.
Wow.
No, I remember,
okay, that's
I
very
remember
candid.
The photo from the...
Oh, yeah. It's
that's
coming
very
up.
Candid.
Yeah.
So I remember they're craft beer nerds, so it was just easy. So it inspired me to do this one. This one's called Citrus Self Down. Fruit
nice.
Belgian wit. I'm about puns.
Yeah.
I like punny names.
Citrus Self
Town. That is really nice. Really nice.
Puns and dad jokes. I'm in.
So
it's an elegant pun.
This one, I wanted to have it to be, I did orange, sweet orange peel with a combination of pink grapefruit and ruby grapefruit.
Wow.
Nice. But wait, there's more.
There's more.
It's a Belgian wit.
Okay.
So I know that Belgian yeast will give kind of more of those papaya, melony esters. So how do I kind
could
of balance
be banana,
that out?
Could it, be clovey.
Yeah, and which I didn't want necessarily, but I really wanted that strong kind of fruit backbone.
Yeah.
So what I did is I used a lot of strong Pacific Northwest hops, Cascade, Centennial, Chinook, and really driving that in there on multiple layers. I did it
more
first,
citrus flavors.
You nailed it. So I wanted that to marry with the fruit that I'm putting with. And it was a really good experiment to me of how can I get fruit to marry with hops and have still a very nice malt backbone. I used some biscuit malt in there to get kind of that kind of imagine marmalade on toast, like Melba toast in a way. And that's where I was kind of delivering it. So people are really liking this one. This time around, it's if you like unsweetened orange juice or grapefruit, then this is right up your alley.
I like grapefruit.
Yeah, we served this at the Battle of Beers event this past Saturday, which is a charity event for the Surrey Firefighters. And a lot of people were either like, I'm really loving it, or it's like, I appreciate it, but I don't drink unsweetened orange juice. Like, that's okay. Thank you for trying it. I dig it. It's very refreshing. Now, clarity on this, what?
It looks like a New England IPA.
It does.
It's a wheat beer. Yeah.
Which is good. Yeah, wheat beer should. And that's why I was laughing.
What's the percentage of wheat? Them.
So the amount of wheat I put in is probably about 15%.
15? Is that all?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mm, that smells it's like
it's very cloudy. Did any oats or anything?
No, I didn't use any oats.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, crazy cloudy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit of peach or something tropical in there, but it really comes off with that orangey. Yeah.
Interesting aroma. I'm picking up those Belgian yeast.
Yeah, the Belgian yeast character really comes in. Mm-hmm. I also was thinking like California oranges.
Yeah,
which is really what I'm trying to drive. I wasn't trying to drive. It sounds terrible. Okanagan oranges. I think Okanagan oranges have that more kind of, you know, that citrus pithy note and less of that kind of really juicy note.
Yeah.
So I was really trying to do the California one. And this one I wanted to be kind of uplifting and refreshing.
Wow.
I'm going to throw a tangerine in there.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, if we're going to get that specific about fruit, that we're not talking about oranges from over here.
No.
No.
No, no.
No, oranges, it's definitely oranges tangerine
from
and
down
orange.
Here on the map.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That has some nice, like,
there's like a tartness smack-y. In the finish.
Yeah. That is, that's ultra, like, sitting on a patio drinking a beer.
4.8%.
Or fruit juice.
It's 12 bitterness. It's 12 IBU.
Really?
Whoa. That's it. I'm getting, like, tartness on the finish.
Yeah, you will.
Like, big tartness. And not just back of tongue. I'm getting all over the palate tartness.
Yeah. So the journey on this beer
and saltiness.
Journey on this beer is orange on the nose, grabs your attention. The sweet orange peel gives you that connecting point and also leads that kind of drying note.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there's grapefruit. Like, and you're waiting, it says, oh, wait, there it is. Mm-hmm, and then the hops kind of give you those aromatic aspects.
Yeah.
So it is one of the most really technically complex beers I've ever made.
It is pretty complex. There's a lot going on.
Yeah,
there is. But
also crushable. So.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, no, this is great. I can crush the shit out of this beer.
I absolutely love the interplay of the ruby and the pink grapefruit. You can taste the two.
Mm-hmm.
And they're different, but the like similar notes, but... You can taste one, you can taste the other. It's a fun little thing.
I love ruby grapefruit. That's my personal favorite. But I know pink grapefruit gives a lot of that kind of really that citrus uplift. When you crack open a pink grapefruit, you kind of not only do you get that kind of splatter in the face and you go, oh my eyes, but it's also the aroma on pink grapefruit I think is stronger than ruby. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to marry the two together and then put that into the trifecta of like the sweet orange peel and the orange. So that's what I'm trying to do is I'm really trying to do fruit beers, but I don't want to do single fruit beers. I want to do
the finish to me like is all about the pink grapefruit.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you say fruit beer, all of a sudden, like, okay, yeah, it's a fruit beer, but it's not just a fruit.
It's subtle.
Yeah. I love that you went for the combo.
I'm going to be going. I'm big about threes. It's just I have an Irish background, so it's all about the Holy Trinity kind of thing. So I like threes. So I really want to do fruit beers with three, and because no one else is doing it.
Yeah,
everybody like I went in with the Beautiful Distraction. There's another brewery that did. Two of the fruits they did mango and orange, and I'm glad I did three fruits because I don't want to do what everybody else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Not only because I want to stand out, but I don't want to have to compete with my colleagues.
Yeah,
right. Like let them be awesome. I want to try and be better than average.
Yeah.
So
have you tried doing a pog beer yet? Then
pog.
It's a passion fruit, orange, and guava.
Ah.
There's a. Oh, I'm trying to think here. Stone Brewing's done a couple of them. Oh, shoot, which one is it? Mm-hmm. Atlanta, Georgia's done a couple.
Right, that rings a bell now.
Yeah, I'm going blank here.
Well, I'll probably do it in a cask.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to drop kick a passion fruit rhubarb cask.
Ooh. Rhubarb. I'm in rhubarb, yep, yep.
Yeah. Wow. That's it's in the funny. Works. That's in the works.
Is there anybody...
anything with rhubarb, I'm in.
Yeah?
Is there anybody here that does not like fruit in beer? And basically, the answer is no.
Get out.
There's anybody... But I want to... just reiterate that I'm not just enjoying the flavor.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. This for me is actually so when I, do the rating thing on Beer Me BC, then this is one of those where I wish I could do the Spinal Tap and go to 11 because for specifically for palate, I would really love to be able to go, over 100%. This is giving me something that the experience is actually, it's almost like there's something coating my tongue during the swallow, but it ends up being clean at the end. But It's almost like it's viscous. It's coating my tongue. It's almost oily. It doesn't behave like I expected this beer to behave.
No.
And I have
to say, I'm
tasting
this beer and I'm trying to imagine it with different kinds of food. I think this would be a good beer to pair with
breakfast.
And I don't know. Okay, no, I'm thinking camping. This could work with
that's
different
camping,
things.
Steve.
I'm thinking this could work with a salad with some fresh berries in it or something like that.
But I'm seeing what Steve's saying. Goat cheese. I'm thinking mimosa or something,
I'm getting
right?
Some
breakfast
good
mimosa.
This is exactly.
I'm getting mimosa notes, and the carbonation level is really what reminds me of mimosa.
Like, it's funny you should say that. When we had our 20th anniversary cask off, I made a cask called Jason's Mimosa.
That is true, and it was really good.
Thank you. I was probably leveraging some of
that. That was that cask.
And we got the belt back for the first time in 6 years.
Nice.
Yeah, that felt really awesome. Congratulations. Thank you. Thank you. So I was probably leveraging a lot of that. I like, with Belgian wine, I like to carb it a little higher. I carb all the beers too
style. Well, Belgian beers are generally a little higher carbonation.
Yeah, I know some breweries that they'll carb everything pretty consistently, and I understand because they package, so I get that, and I think that's awesome, so everything's consistent. But in beer school, I was always told you should carbonate the style.
Yeah,
so this one's a
saison, should be really high.
You nailed it. So I kind of lean towards more of that school of thought. So this one's carved a little higher.
Yeah.
But you can, even with the froth, like there's no froth on it because the acidity of all that puree really knocks that froth out.
Right.
So,
and coming back into that, like it's got the acidity to stand up to a really fatty meal. So like bacon,
that's
avocado.
Where for me it's almost oily.
I was thinking more like goat cheese or something, but it'll cut through that, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you want something like fatty and rich to
go. There's two suggestions I'm going to make to plug the Big Ridge Kitchen. Is one is the Clubhouse Salad, which has blue cheese, it has a panko fried poached egg, as well as bacon and grilled chicken.
So it's like a version of a Cobb salad.
China. And the other one is one I'm falling in love with lately and having a great romance with. I know you're having a romance with salad. Slow down. I call it the power salad, but it's a quinoa salad with kale, cranberries, and pine nuts. And all that nuttiness and all those pieces, it's kind of a very refreshing, uplifting salad, and it goes really well with this beverage. So that's my personal recommendation as far as pairings.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Thank you.
Good job, Jay.
Yeah, that's great. All right, well, what do you think we should go for the next of your beers here?
So I think the next one we should bring out the Session Black Pilsner.
Oh.
I agree.
Session Black Pilsner.
You agree because...
Yes.
First you made of all, that style up.
He brought the beer.
Yes, I did.
Oh, no. I love black lagers. So,
do you?
Yeah, I love black lagers. There's a lot more flavor profile to them.
Schwarzbier?
I guess because, unfortunately, you have the burden of being the pourer. I can't engage you on that. But while you're pouring, that's a good jump-off point because not everybody... Are you volunteering?
Yeah, talk to Mike. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Steve. So because of the fact that... So, for instance, I happen to be married to somebody who's a dark lager fan.
Yeah.
She always has been much more into that than I am. I'll be candid. Again, it's sort of to go back to the whole thing about I didn't get into craft beer to drink lager, and then dark lagers obviously are not the same. I mean, the malt is much more roasty and toasty, but
absolutely,
but the body isn't there, and that for me has always been historically a turnoff because my eyes are seeing something that looks like it's going to have this like really heavy body. There's going to be lots of sugars. This is going to be like food, and then all of a sudden it said it was a black lager. It is not a porter. It is not what your eyes are telling you. And so that is part of it for me.
My favorite thing about when people are going, I don't drink dark beers. I'm like, okay, well, I can make a dark beer that is like fairies dancing on your tongue.
Yeah.
And this is what you're going to drink.
Yeah.
And I also have a recipe for a beer that is lighter than the Pilsner you had, but it'll hit you like a freight train.
Yeah.
So
I love those.
It's
I'll be honest. I'm kind of surprised at the color. Even though I knew it was a block lager, this is really dark.
Yeah, this is not a light brown or anything. This is black.
No, so I was inspired. I did a collaboration. Shout out to Camp Brewing, Dave Henry, the brewer there. They're not open yet. They're going to be out of Langley. Mm. And I've known him for a while when I was at Trading Post, and he's just a fabulous man. Helped me move. Such a great guy. Anyway, we were wanting to do a collab to help promote the brewery that hasn't opened yet, and we did what's called DH on the DL. Yeah. So Dave Henry on the dark lager, it was his recipe. He didn't have a name, and it was just a collab. I just wanted to hang out with him, really, and just brew and learn so much from him.
Yeah,
he's a good
guy. I was inspired by being able to take a dark lager and make it super approachable. And I learned about it. And I wanted to kind of replicate it but be different. So how do I make a dark lager but not a dark lager? Well, make it a black pilsner. So this one, I did is I wanted to make it sessionable.
Sorry to interrupt, but I'm just going to snort
it
this.
It smells so good.
Thank you.
It smells so good. I'm getting the nutty with the toasty and the roasty. Oh, my God. It's like coffee, but not.
This is my version of decaf coffee because I'm a Java Prussian. So that means I probably have 80% coffee in my veins. But there are times I just got to run decaf or I'm going to be up all night.
Right. Yeah.
So this is, it's actually been doing really well. I always have to, Big Ridge is always, there's three goals we try and do. One is to try and have a nitro beer on tap all the time.
Really?
We have the ability to do two. I always want to try and have one. So that's one of my goals. The other one is to always have a dark beer on tap because I have guys that'll come in blazing hot August. The province could be on fire. And they'll say, where's your stout? Really? Oh, you want a stout right now? Okay.
Really?
That's fine. That's and that's Dave. Or that's Mike. Okay.
Should it not be a Roche beer most years these
days? Yeah, right. Okay. So
that's just mean.
I'm a seasonal drinker, so I don't understand this at all.
I always have a dark beer guy. Right. And my other goal is to always have a fruit beer.
I would say most summers now it should be Roche beer in BC.
So there might be there might be three. There might be times where I'll have a fruit dark beer on nitro. You never know. Like that could be in the future.
Whatever that is, I want it.
I just made it up. I'm probably gonna rock it out.
Do it.
There's three. It fits all three categories. The other thing is we just expanded our seasonal lineup. We used to have two or three seasonals.
Yeah.
And then this year we've expanded to five.
Wow.
Now, we're not going to have five all the time, but I'd love to have five all the time, but we're going to be between four and five.
Depends on how much people drink.
Well, the more you move it, the more I can brew it.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's true.
That's how it is.
So go down to Big Ridge
Session
order
Black
the seasonal.
You got your orders, folks.
I got so bored and annoyed with people coming in like, I don't drink dark beer. It's too much like Guinness. I don't drink Guinness. It's too heavy. Really?
Guinness isn't even heavy.
No, it's not. It's 4.2%, which is the same as the Coors Light you're drinking. Slow down. get over yourself. These are two of my relatives in Ontario. You know you're...
the province of smugness.
Just stop. Just stop.
Around it.
So anyway, I wanted to make and so basically it got to a point where I went, I don't want to hear it. And this is called I Don't Want to Hear It, Session Black
Good
Pills.
Name.
Yes.
I don't want to hear it. So then and here's the other class. Thank you guys. The other thing is that if people are in the pub are going, why am I paying craft beer prices for something that's 3.7%? Well, you're obviously an alcoholic and require meetings.
Yes.
So
which you can have right here at Big Ridge.
It's right. I shouldn't say that. So the point I'm trying is I understand people want value, but I think we can give value in a 3.7% beer. And this is your value. And my the servers, the front house team are amazing because they say, hey, yes, it's 3.7%, but you can have more than one beer.
And still drive.
Yeah. And watch the game.
Yeah.
And it's
not
actually
trip on your way to the bathroom.
You nailed it.
When you're getting into a bottle of beer that's like $17, then I'm going to get a little touchy with the 3.7% alcohol, because that does happen.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about just a pub pint, I'm not going to ever complain about
that. I thought you were going to say 17%. And I'm like, wow, man, that's a commitment to the cause.
When I smell this, $17. I get so much roast and everything in the aroma.
Yeah.
But when I taste it, the flavor is much more subdued than the aroma.
Like I've literally
the roasted
not
component
this yet. I'm just sniffing this.
The roasted component's there, It's not like right up in your face.
I'm going to give full props to Dave Henry on that one. He gave me a really great pro tip. He uses what's called Carafa dehusked. So it basically take the husk out of it, so you don't get that tannin and that firm coffee.
And you all the coffee. Did you put it in late in the mash?
No, I don't really have that ability. But I wouldn't say late in the mash. Once the mash is done,
a lot of specialty malts like this, you're not getting any fermentables out of them. Yeah. So if you put them in the last 15-20 minutes of the mash, you're still getting the flavor without having to, you know, put them in early in the mash.
I wouldn't say late, but I'm probably putting them in the latter half. So perfect. I'm kind of like cutting the difference.
Perfect.
Yeah.
They don't need to go in at the beginning.
Just based on the system I have.
Would you mind geeking out a little bit on the grain bill for me on this
one? Oh, I wrote this down. I knew someone was going to ask me this. I'm super curious. Oh, I tried to remember it. I wouldn't remember where I live.
He's now pulling out scrolls, dusting off some ancient papyrus.
This is really easy to drink.
So
you're
running
nice
the malt
light,
bill, right?
Yes. I don't have a sword for you. I'm sorry.
So
man.
Here we go. I'm running Weyermann Bohemian Pilsner malt.
Oh yeah.
Because I remember talking about this with I can't remember who, and he's going, "Why are you ordering Pilsner malt? It's expensive." Well, because do you make beef stew with chicken broth?
Right.
Right. It's just not done.
Yeah. So you got to start with
you're doing a
good
pills,
ingredients.
You're going to do it. Well, you're doing a pills. You're going to use pills malt,
but not superior pills or something. You're gonna use good stuff.
I like superior pills, don't get me wrong. So I used also melanoidin. Mm-hmm. So I like melanoidin, also aka honey malt. Mm-hmm. So anytime you get a honey beer, by the way, if you're not using honey malt to give that, I think you're missing out. So this one gives that kind of like that sweetness character that's in there, kind of like a latte. I use Carafa dehusk, and lastly, I use Carafoam. And that's a pro tip from our mutual colleague, shout out to Matt Barber, who's a big fan of Carafoam.
It's a really lightly toasted or roasted specialty malt. It doesn't do what it's purported to do, but it does give you a nice flavor.
Well, not only that, I think it gives me a little bit of that protein that's going to give me that froth that I want and a little bit of that body. Mm-hmm. And that's what I find from using Carafoam. So I only use that in beers that are like anything like a red or malt forward. Mm-hmm. So I don't use this in anything I'm doing with kind of a hop centric beer.
Right.
So that's kind of where the hop bill is, or the malt bill is, excuse me.
This is really delicious.
Thank you. I know I've crushed multiple pints and on this one, just sitting back and just going, oh wow. So I have a few casks that are ready to be put out. I don't want to say to market, but it'll be put out for our cask nights. Again, shout out to Trading Post. We'll have a guest cask there on September 5th, Thursday, September 5th. It'll be the Session Black Pilsner, and I'll have some coffee that I put in it. So people that are kind of like, I want some coffee notes, and again, I'm a Java Crucian, so I drop kick some coffee in there.
This in a cask with a little bit of coffee would be fantastic.
Or
a lot
of coffee.
I would suggest a blonde, a lighter roast.
Well, I'm not allowed to say the source that I got the coffee from.
Why not?
This is a secret kind of collab project that could come down.
Once it comes out, you can tell, right? Once it comes out,
Well, once it's all sorted out, it's kind of like product testing. I want to see how these coffee beans do in a cask environment, and Trading Post has been so gracious to take this cask on, and I really miss the cast nights, being able to be there for and being part of that cast program. So now I'm taking that knowledge and moving it over.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. And I know, shout out to Sean Kilby, who's the assistant there and runs their cast program. They're doing a fantastic job. So
I have a question.
Fire away.
I'm guessing that vanilla ice cream is available at Big Ridge.
Are you referring to when the brewmaster dinner, when everybody was putting vanilla ice cream in the
I'm just
not
thinking
your average
that this
stout?
Would make a fantastic float.
Really honestly, would. If someone put ice cream in this, I'd be okay with it.
I'm
not
going to
judge.
I'm in.
We've all gone through what we call our beer purist phase, where it's like, you shouldn't do thou shalt not blaspheme beer, right? Right? We've all been there. Don't put lemon slice in this. How dare you?
Oh, well, yeah.
So, but there is there's a lady, a server and bartender at Big Ridge. And who she was drinking lager with lemon. And I'm like, why are you putting lager in the lemon? She goes, that's why I like it. And she got very defensive. And I, really, you're putting lager in lemon? The lager not good enough for you? And she goes, I want it with lemon. Oh, yeah? So I call the bartender over and I go, I'll have what she's having. Seriously? Yeah. So I drank it and I really liked it. So I made her a cask.
There you go.
Well done, sir. So I look at it this way. If When I first got the Big Ridge, I mixed and matched the beers.
We don't know whether she drank the cask. We need information. Did she? How much of that cask did she drink?
Oh, I don't know. You'd have to ask her.
Come on.
I know she was very blushy at the end of it, so I'll take that. But I'll mix and match beers all the time. I used to do it at Trading Post. I used to do it at – I still do it at Big Ridge. I'll mix and match.
We used to play around at Dick's back in the day.
Absolutely. The bartenders give me a hard time calling me high maintenance and princess and all these other fun descriptors. But I do it because I'm looking for cask ideas. And I'm also looking for if I were to take the recipe of one to another and how do I merge them together.
Sure.
So that's kind of how – it's kind of research, but also how does this play out together.
Yeah. I agree. I'm actually super curious how this would pair or cask with licorice.
Licorice?
Probably do great, yeah.
I think depending on the licorice, are you talking black licorice?
Yeah, real licorice.
Yeah,
real
black licorice and probably a little salty.
Unlike the
– It would have to be subtle.
Yeah, the red – Yeah. Like faux that. Cherry.
Yeah, don't go super hardcore or anything. But
I think that just a tiny bit of anise in there would probably be good.
I think, now you're telling me next year when I brew it again, I'll put some anise in it for
maybe
you.
Maybe a cask.
Yeah, well, I can't do it now. Yeah. So, where were you guys like 2 months ago?
Can't do it now. Because we are actually at Mike Garson's recording a podcast. Busy, cannot do it right now. Speaking of Mike, there's no doubt that because more than 50% of the recording time on this podcast so far has been about this one beer, I'm sure Mike is actually eager to find out when we're going to move on. If we're ever going to leave this particular beer.
This is a damn good beer.
We are never leaving this beer. No.
We've been waxing poetic about this beer, but we haven't really talked about the flavor that much.
Have you drank any yet, or are you still sniffing it?
It's got the chocolate notes. It's got that hint of coffee. It's fantastic.
Steve is still sniffing the beer.
Yeah. No, I swear. Yeah. I'm just gonna This is amazing. Thank you.
He's not actually going on here. Had any of it.
There is a little bit of that sweet caramel thing going on, probably from the biscuit malt. Yeah.
He's extremely familiar with the aroma.
And the chocolate malts that are in there are very subtle. Yeah. So it's very easy to drink.
The bitterness is very low.
Very low.
I think this malt-forward beer runs around like 18.
But the bitterness or the that you get from the roasted malt is adding to the bitterness, right?
I just want to say, though, that you would think from the recording time elapsed that this is, Jason's, pièce de résistance. But you know what?
They've all been equally good.
The Pilsner, I really want to...
That's the most impressive
I want to go back and just tweak that memory, folks, before we forget. Half an hour after we, got into
that's
the
Black
Lager.
That's still standing out for me as the top
and
one
as the
so
person
far.
In the room that, honestly, you can't make me a Black Lager fan no matter what you do.
That's okay.
I am that person here that's
me too.
Still not tripping all over myself to...
This is a beautiful beer. It's not my preference, but I still can appreciate it for what it is.
Me too. Yeah, I can appreciate it.
See, I will drink this 5 times before I drink the pills.
Oh, thank you.
But
I prefer the pills. But they're both really well made.
I really try and dial into what my regulars and customers are. I'll hang out at the pub.
Well, and that's what Tony used to do back at
TIX.
I don't notice it. I guess you see me coming and slip out the other door.
Well, Tony,
I don't blame him.
Tony told me stories about how he used to hang out at Dick's.
Sadly,
He'd release a new IPA, and then he'd go around the bar and take a poll, basically, and say, what did you think of it? What does it need? What does it not need? What does this version have the last one didn't have? And he would take the feedback from the customers that were drinking it, and he would design the next recipe towards their feedback. Eventually, he reached a spot where he was making the beer that was dialed in for the people that were drinking it.
You know, that's kind of what I do at Big Ridge. For example, we're going to be trying the Clover IPA in a little bit, and I have like 2 or 3 customers that's all they drink.
So Clover IPA, that's an old name.
Yeah.
That goes back to the origins when they first opened.
Way back.
But I'm guessing the recipe's changed over time.
Table that conversation. We'll get into that when we actually crack over the IPA.
Was it actually not a clover ale for a long time?
It was certainly not called IPA.
Right.
For 10 years, at least, it was not called IPA.
To kind of address the original question is I have customers that drink certain styles, and I'll go to them going, I'm looking to brew this, or what did you think of this? And I'll – because they're the ones that are, what's the the one song that they're rubbing the bar off with their sleeves and their coats and all that.
Oh, yeah. Home for a Rest.
Yeah, thank you. Spirit of the West, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. So I look at those people that are keeping the lights on.
Yeah.
They're my regulars. They're my clientele. They're my clientele. Yeah. So they're your QAQC team in a manner. So when if there's something that shifts about a beer, or if they're a dark beer drinker, or
they're more of a
yes. So I always, and if you're not doing this as a brewer or running an operation of that kind of nature, you should. I brew for the people. So a lot of people ask me, as I segue, why aren't you making a sour? I get asked this a lot, and I go, well, I've looked at some of the historical documents from Wax and the Galaxy Quest going on there. And I look at sours, and I'm like, okay, they didn't do great. They didn't do bad. But I don't know about you, but I don't go to my buddy's place and bring a six-pack of sours when I want to watch an MMA fight.
No.
Or when we're going to watch the Vancouver Canucks
game.
It's
starting to be a thing.
I'm not bringing a ton of sours. I taste sours. I taste a lot of sours. I don't drink a lot of sours.
Yeah.
So if the market shifts that way, then I will do that.
Right.
Also, I haven't done too many IPAs. I've actually done two IPAs. One is a black IPA that we did in January. It was a Night Mission black IPA. It did very well. Great for seasonality. And the other one I'm going to be brewing on Friday. Probably by the time you release this, it'll be already brewed. It's the Fresh Hop Wrath of Khan Belgian IPA.
Okay. Which is a Big Ridge classic that you've updated with fresh hops.
Thank you.
In the last year or two.
Absolutely. And all
and we all love Star Trek, so.
The Fresh Hop edition has been fully 100% approved by Tariq Khan, who's the originator of that beer. It's going to be so fun to be able to do that. I work with Crooked Stick Hop Yard. Shout out to them on 264th. Supremely amazing people to work with. Really supportive of Big Ridge. So that's that beer coming down the pipe. So trying to roll back to IPAs, which our next beer is. So this is, again, speaking of classics, Clover IPA.
Clover IPA.
So no, Clover
this
IPA.
Is a somewhat clear IPA?
I like to
Pacific
think so.
Northwest style?
I think it's more so from what I'm looking at the bill from the hops and looking at the malt bill, it's kind of a union, a marriage. It's a marriage of an English IPA meets a Pacific Northwest.
Perfect.
So
there we go.
It's got notes of both.
Yeah. Yep. It definitely
so,
does, yeah.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and... Go ahead, Mike. You can crack on.
Its predecessor, the Clover Ale, is literally the first beer I ever drank at Big Ridge. I have a distinct memory of it, and it was fantastic then. And I don't know if you guys still do the black and tan, but at the time, I started with the Clover Ale, did the black and tan, and then moved on. I don't remember. There was a stout. I don't remember what it was that I had at the time, but I just remember sitting there going, yeah, I'm coming back here.
Usually it's Old Sullivan Porter that they try and do it with. I did a stout called Not Your Average Stout, and we managed to layer it like a black and tan. I'm old school that way. I like layered black and tans. I think they're sexy.
Cool looking.
They're sexy. That's really all it is.
And instead of green beer, it's great for St. Patrick's Day.
So this one, clarity, like she's clear as day.
Yeah, nice and clear.
So the nose on this, I get
darker,
a
little darker in color, more similar to the Red Racer color.
Yeah.
So this one, it's two malts.
Two.
That's it.
Really? So you've got a base malt and a specialty malt.
Wireman Cara Munich 3.
Wow.
That's it. That's all you need.
I love Cara
Munich. I shifted it, I'm not going to lie, I shifted it from Simpson's Crystal Medium.
Uh-huh.
I went down to the recipe and I wrote out, because I'm a nerd, and I like math, because math doesn't lie.
Right.
Math doesn't leave you crying in the corner wondering why. It's just solving.
There's only one right answer.
My life is solving for X, by the way. If you hate algebra, don't be a brewer. Or if you don't like washing dishes, don't be a brewer. So
you sound like Malcolm from Jurassic Park, looking for his X.
Okay, so that's a shout out to Cassandra Grieve because she loves Malcolm from Jurassic Park. So I went through and I looked at I did the protein count. I did all that. I was obviously got to remember I'm single for a reason. So I did all the math one night and I'm like, okay. And it wasn't I was looking to change this beer. It was looking to shift the beer.
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of like doing a tune up on your car.
you want to update it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
make it topical. Thank you. You nailed it. So someone's going to ask me, what's the malt bill and what's Steve. All this stuff? There's two malts, but the hops are really, really complex. So it's Columbus on first wort.
Yeah.
Oh. Magnum on boil for bittering. And then it's Cascade and Centennial on whirlpool.
Mm. Okay.
And then dry hopped. Wait for it. There's more. Yeah. Amarillo, Cascade, Galaxy, and Azaka.
Jesus.
Holy shit.
Oh,
why?
So,
I love the Azaka.
Well, I'm getting a lot of that citrusy thing off the aroma.
So,
I love the fact that you just went, let's just use two malts. But every hop.
But I'm also getting. I get that citrus thing in the aroma, but I'm also getting some of that tropical mango papaya.
So, the challenge is, I'm not going to lie. The prior brewer, Chad, was letting me know, hey, man, we can't get Galaxy. Which is, we've seen other breweries have that issue with getting certain ingredients in. You have to shift the recipe.
Mm-hmm. Unless you contract it out.
Or have friends in high places.
Yeah. Low places.
Who want to share.
I would just love friends in places.
Below the equator.
So I made some adjustments and some shifts. Warren, you mentioned about salts. I went down to the math, and I didn't have to shift the salts very much, if at all. And really, this is my version and fusion of English IPA meets Northwest IPA. But also, I didn't want to shift it too much so that the people that have been coming in for 20 years are going to go, what did you do to the IPA? I hate it. So those guys that have been coming in are going, you tweaked it, Jay, and you made it your own. I like it. It's up to date. And you mentioned modernized it. Yeah. It's up to date what's going on in the market.
Yeah. I'm still getting that caramely, malty backbone.
Yeah.
That's nicely balanced with the hops. There's that little tiny bit of sweetness in there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's working quite nicely. And it is probably a bit more bitter and hoppy than it would have been in the past.
Yes.
I think so, yeah, which is great.
Yeah,
no, this is a really nice update on a really fond memory I have.
Mm-hmm.
I love the nose. This is going to sound really bad, but I mean this in the best way possible. Mm-hmm. It actually comes off with a really fun sour hay note that reminds me of like everybody talks about clover as like
I call it rustic.
Yes, but like everybody talks about clover as like a sweet note. But if you actually go out and like you're just on the lawn and you smell clover, you get all the extra stuff around it and it. It comes off with that really fun, complex.
It's how you feel when you just mowed your lawn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you're not covered in grass.
Exactly.
So I want to be the person in the room that's when we were talking about those regulars and the people that have been going there 20 years.
Are you one of those regulars, Dave?
Well, I'm geographically located in an optimal position by way of my domicile.
Yes.
In order to be that guy tonight, because I am the Big Ridge regular in the past.
Some time there.
Now, I have to confess, I haven't been as regular as I used to be because there used to be this thing called the Big Ridge Shuttle.
Oh, yeah.
And it used to come to our house.
Uh-oh.
And so we're not going to go there, folks, because there might be some bitterness about the fact that the shuttle broke down and was never repaired. And Mark.
I don't know anything about that.
So, but anyway.
Come on, Mark, bring it back
Mark, but.
You used to pick up the SkyTrain. I would be there.
Yes. I remember that.
I availed myself of that.
Yeah.
I'll make sure I kick this link up to the higher ups. So
absolutely. Because, one of my favorite memories of post Big Ridge imbibement is heading up to Scott Road SkyTrain. And I didn't even need to, but I just went for the ride. to help other people get home. I actually.
Good Samaritan.
I actually helped a very well-known community member get her butt onto the SkyTrain.
Love it.
Went all the way up the King George thing, came back down, got in the shuttle, and off we went.
That's awesome.
All right, Dave, I am now inspired. I'm going to make you a beer called Along for the Ride.
Oh. Love it.
That is good.
If it's not a beer, it'll be a cask. Is that okay?
But, I'll go along with that.
You got to remember that Jason... He's here for a good time, not a long time.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Noted.
So now,
he's a trooper.
When it comes, I am a trooper.
Wow.
I am a trooper, and I do raise hell. And so,
just a little hell, though.
No, yeah. So when it comes to this particular beer, because, to try to bring it back to the topic, which is this was as Steve said, it wasn't an IPA. You know, when we first went there, there's posters on the wall. Damn. There was no word IPA. This was the one brewery.
Clover Ale.
This was the one brewery in British Columbia. And we're talking about, this is the same chain of brew pubs, and there was five of them at its peak.
Yeah.
That were cutting edge, that developed brewers like Ian Hill. I would say Ian Hill, without the Mark James Group, as a brewer, as we know him, would not exist.
Probably not,
And same with Tony, same with Dave, and all these.
Varga.
We're richer for Woodward. Having him, especially.
There's a whole, out in Surrey, we're the outpost, and believe me, as I said, I'm a Surrey guy. My wife is a Surrey girl. We're not necessarily proud of it, but we're not ashamed of it either. So,
and Dave, you touched on the that Surrey flag proud.
You touched on the Mark James Group.
Fly that beaver.
Wow. Okay.
The beaver flag, damn it.
I'm moving right along.
Surrey animal.
So.
Usually ride instead of fly.
Right. Fair enough.
Wow. Wow. Just went there.
Just for our listeners, just to understand Big Ridge Brewing in the schema of things, there's the Mark James Group, Mark James Group owns Yaletown Distilling, Yaletown Brewing Company.
Yeah.
Raleigh and Josh over there, the brewers are doing a fantastic job. They're way more maverick than I am. I can't wait to do a collab with them. We'd have so much fun together. And then there's Derek, who's rocking it out at the High Mountain Whistler Brew House.
He's been there for several years.
His Five Rings IPA is something to behold.
Yeah.
As well,
he cut his teeth on IPA at Dick's, right?
Absolutely. And Derek's always a great guy. He's always got my back. And then there's Yaletown Distilling, Tariq, legacy guy in the craft brewing industry, now a distiller. Doing very well for himself. Hop gin. I'm going to just do shameless plug for his hop gin.
Yeah.
And then there's also the Flying Beaver Pub out in near...
I don't think I've been there.
Near the, if
it's
I'm not
the
mistaken...
South Terminal.
The South Terminal.
That's right. YBR.
Famous.
Service...
I haven't been there.
I don't think I've ever been there.
Service and food, just great.
Really?
Just if you want to... Yes, I have. I went there and I ghosted. I didn't want to tell them on the brewer. And they treated me so well.
Let me know when you're going in sometime. I'd love to check that place out.
It's so worth the little jaunt if you can make it out there.
And there's actually parking there and stuff.
Yes, there is. So big shout out to that. We're part of a larger group, and we share a lot of ideas. Yeah. Like I talked to Derek and I talked to Josh, and
but you still have your autonomy, right?
I do. I have some parameters. I'm not going to lie.
Of course.
We serve 20-ounce pints. We're one of the few places. And by the way, there's no such thing as an American pint. This is my little soapbox
moment. An American
moment.
Pint is 16 ounces, and it doesn't exist in Canada where we use the imperial system.
Thank you. And according to International Weights and Measures, a 16-ounce pint doesn't exist. It's a bunch of bunk.
It's a cheater pint.
It's a version of a sleeve.
Well, that's like saying it's an 800-meter kilometer. Get
over
yourself.
Right.
So...
That's right? Americans trying to rip everybody off.
I'll leave that to you. So we serve legitimate pints, and we have a full-fledged restaurant. We have a lounge side. We have a restaurant side. Yes, we're kid-friendly. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's dedicated to the beer, dedicated to the food. I suggest everybody come on out.
Like, absolutely.
And we do a ton of events. I have a shameless plug for an event we're doing September 14th. It's a KPU double collab release.
So you had a KPU student work with you at Big Ridge, and then you went and did a collab at KPU.
That is correct. So side note, another personal goal is I want to release a collab beer once a month.
Once a month?
Wow.
Jeez,
once a month. That's my goal. I might do two in 1 month and skip one other, but it depends how it goes, right? But
that's my goal. Too.
That's cool.
For everyone who doesn't know, KPU is Kwantlen... Polytechnic University.
And they have one of the premier brewing programs in the province, if not Canada.
And one of my most fond memories, when I was the second year at Olds College in their brewmaster and brewery operations program, Kwantlen Polytechnic University brought their first years out for their brewery and brewing operations program. And that's where I got to meet people like, you know, Mike Nicholson at Britannia and Ashley Brooks now at Four Winds, you know, Cole Smith at Dead Frog. I could go on and on and on.
There's so many people that have come out of KPU that are currently in the business in the Lower Mainland who are knocking it out of the park.
The school is entrenched.
It's insanity, too, because how old is that program now? It's
not that old.
4 years
yeah.
at the most.
Yeah.
Maybe no, three.
Shout out to KPU.
They've even had some
beautiful tour of their system. They turn out quality people, and
they've even had some stars in there as instructors.
They have, yeah. And well, go out Fridays. They do
growler fills.
They're rotating constantly. They do staples. They do interesting
all summer
weird
long.
Stuff.
They've been doing collabs with alumni and other people in the industry, like Jason.
They're on the southeast corner of Langley City, not township, city.
Right. And while you're there, you'll be able to visit all the Langley breweries that are up and coming.
If you go so back in our history too, we also did a 3-part series. Me and Chelsea, who is no longer really part of the podcast these days, we did a 3-part series with KPU. So we went to the brewery. We sat down with some of the instructors and talked to them. We did one with some of the alumni of the program.
Nice.
And we did one with what's her name now? Nancy.
Yep. Yes, Nancy Moore.
Nancy Moore. She's me and Nancy and Chelsea the whole thing. Went and sat down at Central City Brew Pub, and we had a chat and we recorded it. So if you want to go back and you're looking for the 3-part series on KPU, you can hear all about the program.
Perfect.
So we have a really fun event coming up September 14th. A few months ago, we did a KPU cask off. Mm-hmm. So the faculty selected 3 students to come in and make casks and do a 3-way cask off.
Nice.
And what the prize was is $500 in cash.
Really?
We encouraged them to put towards their tuition, but if they wanted to put it towards...
beer.
Whatever that's their thing. The other piece was they come and brew with me.
Yeah.
And when I was a brew student, if I had the opportunity to go brew with a brewer at a full fledged brewer, I would have.
Oh, that was a big deal.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
So Christy Isaac won, and she came up with this really amazing recipe. It's like she already had it in the holster, ready to quick draw it. It was great. It's called, and that's going to be coming out on September 14th. It's called Royally Skewed British Pale Ale.
Oh, yeah.
And Warren, I know you're a punk music guy.
Yeah.
So think about punk music, where it's a British invasion to America.
Yeah.
Think about that flipped. So take a British Pale Ale with an infusion of Pacific Northwest hops.
Interesting.
So
that sounds delicious.
We've been tasting it, and it's turning into some marmalade, honey, nectarine notes,
nice.
Which is, and it's kind of like an ordinary special or ordinary bitter meets kind of an English pale ale. It's really taking on its interesting
that
life
in
its own.
I'm in. This sounds great.
I'm a big fan of an ordinary bitter.
That's why I'm mentioning it.
I love English styles.
So, full marks to Christy. She came up with the recipe. She's worked with the specific yeast strain more than I have. So it was, again, I look at collaborations of symbiotic relationship and mutual sharing of information.
That's the biggest part, I think, is the information sharing.
And also, my personal is when I work with either homebrewers or KPU students or brewing students, I don't look at them as kind of like, oh, well, you're a student, you're below me. It's like, you're brewers. We're all brewers. That's how it is.
People with experience have a lot to bring to the table.
Absolutely.
People without experience have that fresh look at things, that untainted kind of creativity. You know what I mean? So they might be bringing things to the table that you would never consider.
So I have no shame in saying that Christy did like 80% of the work. Like she came in and I just pointed and shot and said, "Hey, turn that valve, do that thing," and She was in there just, this is her project.
Perfect.
So that's going to come out September 14th, but wait, there's more.
That's awesome.
So KPU invited me out to come and brew with them.
Yeah.
And one of the students that was involved with the KPU cask off, Graham, invited me, and I got to brew with him, as well as Martina and John, the students there. All lovely people, very talented. And we brewed, and here's what we did. I don't get to do too many madcap things, but we kind of took a Kolsch style beer meets a Schwarz beer and drop kick a Norris Kvik yeast in it.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. So it is like one of the most madcap things I've ever done. And we're like, why not? So it's going to be called Der Nachtrider, which means the night rider.
Okay.
Because of his German roots.
Nachtrider.
But I'm doing a cask of that one. The cast that came out, we put in caraway, Grains of Paradise, and juniper, because those are herbs that were put in the Norse drink back in the day, and it's called holmgang. So holmgang is going to be, there's going to be a cask on September 14th. We're going to release the KPU collab beer that I went and brewed with them, and we're also going to release the KPU student beer that they came Christy came and brewed with me. Nothing like this has been done with Big Ridge. This is what we're kind of trying to do with Big Ridge, is look at what everybody
September
else is doing.
September 14th, 2019.
5 p.m. Come out. That's where we're going to release at Big Ridge.
That's awesome.
I might have to do that. If I'm not working, I'll be there.
So this is what we're trying to do, is really just look what everybody's doing, do something different.
Yeah,
and
awesome.
So
and cross promotion and all that stuff is a bonus too, right?
And the KPU students there, I have a KPU student, his name is Amanchu, and he handles the packaging and some of the cellaring stuff, and he's a top shelf gentleman. Mm-hmm. So I'll probably always, if I can, always have a KPU student on my team.
He has great facial hair.
And, he does. He's got an epic beard.
And you know, because of the fact that you've, you know, managed to get across that there's an event on September 14th, I just want to make sure I pick up the slack here and let people know that there's yet another event on September 24th.
Mm. So thank you.
Which is maybe
another wicked dinner.
Maybe the tie-in with the, you know, with the brewing school community isn't there, but in this case, folks, it's not just about, you know, benefiting all these students. It's about benefiting your stomach, because if you, you want to come out for the next Big Ridge Brewmasters dinner,
do yourself a favor.
They have been, as we discussed before, a throwback to the time when a Brewmasters dinner meant something.
Yeah.
And it's been a long time. My wife and I can certainly corroborate that if you remember back when Brewmaster's dinner was like something impressive. The food is impressive. The thinking behind it. Now this one is going to be all about Oktoberfest.
It's an Oktoberfest inspired theme. So Chef and I were looking at the pairings that we're doing. So I'm bringing a dry hop Vienna lager for it. We've paired the beers, all seasonal beers that'll be paired with it. We're also, believe it or not, we're doing an introductory cocktail. So that's something else we're
piloting. Is this a beer cocktail?
It will be a beer cocktail.
Okay.
So that we're piloting. We're trying this idea. Our bar manager has come up with an amazing... I'm not going to say what it is. You got to show up.
Yeah. No,
and then to make
call.
Everybody jealous. Yeah. But we're going to do... You're going to show up and you're going to get a little beer cocktail to sample it as an aperitif before your dinner.
Very nice.
Again, Tina, shout out to her as her idea and taking beer to the next level. She's a true mixologist at heart. And,
very cool.
Tina,
so
happy she's on the team.
That's just another element, another angle to the Brewmaster's dinner, and I think that's exciting and interesting.
I'm just trying to take the dinners and evolve it. Yeah. Every single time we're going to do something different or
step
make it
up.
Better. Yeah, absolutely.
This one sounds like it will be different.
Yeah, for sure.
And everyone's invited. Am I invited?
Of course you're invited. Well, we got a vegetarian meal just for you.
Well, it turns out September 24th is my birthday, so...
What?
Oh!
There might be a special dessert then.
Maybe a candle.
Make special wonton soup for you.
Oh, my.
I got your back. I'll arrange you something.
All right. Well, thank you for coming out, Jason.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, it's been nice chatting with you.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thank you. You brought four beers, and we've all waxed poetic about
all
four beers.
They were all very good.
Thank you.
Remember how he usually says it's been... really decent.
Decent.
Yeah.
Or
and he's
above
just
average.
Really good.
Yeah. I don't throw around
he doesn't.
Accolades.
No, he doesn't. He does not throw accolades lightly. Around. And he has been throwing accolades around. Mm-hmm.
I've been
four
very
beers.
Impressed.
Yeah. No, it's been a good evening of.
Yes.
You've learned something over the last few
devil
years.
Devil horns.
Thanks,
all
man.
The way.
that black pills is fucking addictive.
Yeah, they were all damn good.
Mm. Thank you.
So. Thanks for coming out, man. It's been amazing.
And awesome. Thanks for bringing these beers out.
Yeah.
That was
my pleasure.
That saved me driving down to Big Ridge, which is halfway to the States.
It really is.
For me, because I live in Coquitlam.
Yeah. All right, well, let's close this show out. I'd like to thank all of our Patreon supporters. So thanks to Liz from Hop Bauer.
Thanks, Liz.
Thanks to Indie Beer Show, both out of San Diego, California. and thanks to Steve. If you support us on Patreon, we use the money to pay for our hosting, upgrade our equipment. You can get stickers. You can get a T-shirt. If you want some kind of different level, just let us know and we'll add that. We could even probably do like a skateboard or something.
You also get early access to the podcast, right?
Early access to the episodes when we can. Ad-free. Go to patreon.com/PacificBeerChat. So thanks for listening. Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at PacificBeerChat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@PacificBeerChat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.
Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.